Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're still going over right now, Kevin, but I'm told that it's a $140 million injury guarantee. Mm. So Patrick Mahomes has the protection he needs. He's got the upside he wants. He's got the contract he sought. They've been going back and forth on this deal for the last few months and finally have an agreement in place to where Mahomes will sign that. But you're asking for the guarantee, $140 million in injury guarantee. The new money is worth $45 million per year on average. That's the 10-year extension worth $450 million. He had 2 years left, and so he's under contract to the Kansas City Chiefs through the 2031 season, Kevin.
That is Adam Schefter on ESPN talking about the big contract handed out to Patrick Mahomes. We're going to talk a little bit about it here as well. 803-0550 to join us this morning to share your opinions in the discussion. We'll get into how this could impact Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, the next round of contracts of young quarterbacks that'll be coming up.
Had a good tweet, a good point brought up about follow-up to this Mahomes conversation. The tweeter asks, is there a non-quarterback player or position, or you could even include Josh Allen here, who on the Bills would you feel most comfortable giving a 10-year contract to? Trey White? Slam dunk? Tremaine Edmonds? Slam dunk?
I don't have a slam dunk. No, I don't.
It's those two, certainly over Allen, though, right?
Yeah, well, there's no offensive lineman, there's no wide receiver. You'd never give it to
a running back.
Wouldn't give it to a tight. There's nobody on offense.
Dawson Knox, you're not making a 10-year bet?
No, no.
I mean,
I see he can catch a pass on a jet ski.
Yes, he did. Yes,
so
he
that's
can.
Pretty. I feel like that's a talented thing. You know, like I would be worried about drowning. Not a slam dunk. You hit the two guys, Ed Oliver. No, I mean obviously it would go to a younger guy, and you hit. I wouldn't give it to Milano. Dawkins.
Frank. Frank Gore is the answer. He'll be playing for another 10 years.
Can they bring back Mike Tolbert and give him the 10-year contract? So it would be one of the young cogs that you see as a key part on defense, and I think you just hit the two main guys, your middle linebacker and your shutdown corner. But 10-year contract, no, I wouldn't give it to either guy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give it to anybody other than the quarterback.
No, that's probably about right.
Yeah, I like those guys. I mean, you want to give Trey White 5 years and make him, you know, one of the higher-paid cornerbacks, fine. 10, I just wouldn't go that long with anybody.
One thing about this Mahomes deal, you know, he's making a ton of money. When the numbers were coming out initially for $10 million a year, there was a lot of speculation right off the bat, like, oh, he must be making a percentage of the cap, right?
Well, there was a report that he was, yeah.
Right. But before the report, it was, that must be it.
Yeah.
Because why would a player give up so much, so many different opportunities to hit the market?
Yeah.
He must be getting a percentage of the cap, which is not what's happening. He's getting, what are they calling them? Guarantee mechanisms?
Mechanisms, right. And he has, okay. And I guess there's an escape or an out for him if some of these mechanisms aren't hit.
Right. Basically, they have to pick up an option a year out for him that continues to jump his salary. And it makes it look like he will frequently be or always be at the top of the league in terms of how much he's paid, or they're trying to guess that. I mean, a $50 million bonus in 1 year, 49.6 or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, the idea is they want to make him the highest paid while also never really giving up control of him as a as an asset.
Or I was wondering about, let me ask you this, because you always bring up who says no in trade offer discussions. When I saw the report about the percentage, the salary would be tied to a percentage of the cap. So, you know, he would be guaranteed to get X percent of the cap. Well, the cap changes. So, you know, it might not be that great next year. But down the road, I was thinking, okay, percent of the cap, they know what's coming. There's been talk that the next TV deal will be, you know, out of the stratosphere. And even with the pandemic now, in a couple of years, down the road with that next TV deal, the cap's going to be like $300 million. All right, it's 180 right now. But it's going to go up, and they're projecting it over $300 million in a few years. And I thought, okay, well, maybe, you know, is the agent doing that because they want percent of cap because they think that next TV deal is going to bring in a boatload of money, and the cap's going to go way up, and we're going to go up too because the percentage, he'll get 25% of, let's say it's 25, just for argument's sake, 25% of a $300 million cap versus 25% of a $180 million cap. Who would say no? But then the team doesn't really get cost certainty. They don't have a black and white number on a paper for a cap number each of the 10 years in the extension. They would have a ballpark, they would have a range that would be based on where the cap could go. So I was thinking, I guess Mahomes, I would see where he could say, yeah, I would do it, but I would think the team wouldn't because they don't have cost certainty out of that.
Yeah.
Would it be a bad deal for the agent and the player if they took a contract tied into a percentage of the cap? Cap always goes up in the NFL.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising to me that we kind of don't just do that.
Yeah.
You know, the NHL especially, where you don't rework contracts. Like, let's think about the NHL really quickly. You could just say to Player X, to Connor McDavid, to Jack Eichel, the max contract is 20% of the salary cap, right?
Right, right.
And when a guy signs a max deal, he makes 20% of the cap that year.
Yep.
And then the cap goes up, he doesn't make 20% the following year. When Sidney Crosby signed his contract, you know, he can only get so much. It's one of the things that's kind of built in to have guys like Austin Matthews, who signed for 5 years, only want to sign for five. And, you know, if you sign for the longer term, the reason that it'll often be brought up is like, well, that's going to be a bargain in 3-4 years. They say that because the percentage of the cap that you're using goes down every time the cap goes up, obviously.
Right.
So it surprises me that the Players Association, you know, you could do this with salary cap. I'm thinking about my own fantasy league where we have a salary cap. Really all it is a percentage of the cap. You want to make trades? Like, okay, what's a percentage on Johan Larsson? Oh, he's a 7%er. Mm-hmm. Or whatever it might be. I mean, I didn't do the math there, but you know what I'm saying.
Right, right.
Like, how much is he worth? It would be 7% of your cap. All right, well, we got to trade out 3.5 here and 3.5 here. And okay, let's make the trade. Like, you don't have to really get bogged down in the numbers of it.
Right.
You could just make all the salaries cap contingent, and that would be one way to make players true partners in terms of salaries or whatever, in terms of revenue going up and down. I guess the threat there is that the NHL or any of these leagues would cook their books or hide their books.
Oh, yeah,
and make it seem like they've lost money, so they pay less.
Yeah, because the cap is based on in the NHL hockey related revenue. The cap's going to be frozen at $81 million in the CBA extension because they're not going to hit their revenue levels. So now the good news is the cap's not going down. But the bad news is it's not continuing to go up until they reach a certain amount of revenue again, like $4.8 billion. But if, okay, so let's say you're the NFL, two things on this. One, if you were going to tie a contract into percentage of the cap, even if you only did one, you might just say NFL teams say, okay, quarterback is it. Like, that's always going to be, all right, I shouldn't say always. In theory, if the guy's good, that will be your highest single expenditure in terms of salaries. If you get a quarterback that's legit, that's going to be your biggest contract. So maybe they look at it and go, that's the one position we will tie into a percentage of the cap is quarterback. And because then I was thinking about this, Jeremy, it's kind of, maybe they don't have an actual rule where they actually do tie the, but you really kind of, you do have a pecking order, right? If you're an NFL GM, you know certain positions you value more than others. You're going to pay a quarterback. You're going to pay an edge rusher, right? A stud edge rusher. You're going to pay, well, now a shutdown corner. Look where those salaries have gone. The top guys are now making $12, $13, $14, $15 million. Trey White's going to get a big payday at some point. Used to be left tackles, right? We're one of the highest paid. Maybe, I mean, I think, I feel like teams kind of do have an idea of how much money I'm spending at quarterback, at edge, at middle linebacker, at cornerback, based on the importance of those positions. So they kind of do have, I think, an unofficial percentage of cap, or at least knowing value of contracts going to a specific position on my roster, right? You're not going to go crazy with running back contracts. You would spend more on the left tackle typically than you would spend for your guards, you know? So I think they have, I'm sure in their minds, they operate on kind of a percentage tied to positions, but maybe not a hard and fast 20% for the quarterback, 15% for the edge rusher, 12% for the shutdown corner.
I mean, that sounds about right.
Like, you know? You would prioritize the positions, you would say, these are the ones we're really going to pay big money for.
Yeah.
You know, this is the discussion we had, you know, like whatever year it was that Andy Levitre was hitting the open market, and he ends up getting this massive contract at Tennessee, or was it Atlanta? Well, whatever. He ends up getting the massive contract. We're sitting there going, fine. I mean, he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but I'm not paying a guard that kind of money. We're always prioritizing positions. Like when they signed Mitch Morse, the discussion was, okay, is a center worth that contract? You know, because you're always thinking about, where am I sinking money? What you just asked me about a 10-year contract, which is a big commitment. Who would get a 10-year contract on the Bills? And I think you hit the two spots, nobody on offense, but you hit a shutdown corner when you mentioned Trey White, and you hit the middle linebacker who controls your defense and is involved in so many plays over the course of the game, and every down player, Tremaine Edmonds. You hit the key positions. So I think they do, right? And NFL GMs, I think, operate under some kind of a structure where they know, this is how much I'm spending on that spot. Like we were talking about Jordan Phillips, right? Should the Bills re-sign Jordan Phillips? What are they going to want to tie up X amount of dollars at defensive tackle?
Line. In tackle, yeah, right.
Right. So you would on the edge, but you wouldn't necessarily do that knowing maybe Ed Oliver down the road is going to get a big contract too. Why would you put all that money into defensive tackle?
Yeah. So the dominoes from Mahomes are Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Prescott.
Sure. Well, Prescott's got 8 days to work out a multi-year contract.
All right. And that's the funny thing about the way that it works. Mahomes was always going to be the guy that set the market at the top, right?
For sure, yeah.
So Watson, a lot of people said Watson shouldn't sign until Mahomes does. And did you see Deshaun Watson's tweet yesterday?
No, I didn't. What did he tweet?
There was somebody tweeted about at him, like a picture of a smiling baby, like a really like and he just retweeted that. Just interesting. All right. And the real big thing, if you're the Cowboys today, I think if you're the Cowboys, you're upset because what would the number have been that would have got Dak done? Right. Now, maybe Dak Prescott's camp was not going to sign anything until Mahomes got done.
Not out of the question that they would have said, maybe they decided we're going to do this, or maybe the agent knows the other agent, and he's like, you know what? Don't worry about it. We're going to get this thing with Kansas City done before camp. So Dak's guy goes, okay, we're going to wait. Mm-hmm. Knowing they've got till July 15th, and maybe he had an idea they were going to get the extension done before the deadline for the tagged guys.
And maybe Dak's camp says, listen, we're not signing until Mahomes signs unless you reach this number.
Number.
It was like astronomical.
They must have an eBay buy now number, basically.
Maybe. Yeah. And maybe now that number is the number because of where Mahomes went. You know, like it's because one of the things you could say if you're a Cowboys fan today, and I saw a little bit of this, from the NFL world, which is people saying, get Dak done before Mahomes, get Dak done before Mahomes. Uh-oh, too late.
Right.
You know, now it's too late. The of course, argument against that would just be his agent's not an idiot. His agent knew that that was something that they would want to do. Yeah.
Well, this is a little bit, it's a different position, but it's actually the same discussion. This is the Trey White discussion for the Bills, and I don't know if this is actually played out because the Bills have that luxury of the fifth-year option, and they're not really facing a lot of pressure to extend him. But if you're Trey White's agent, let's say the Bills approached Trey White's agent and said, we'd like to get an extension. Would you do it? Or do you know you got a couple years to see where the cornerback market goes? You know, look where it's gone in the last 2 years with Gilmore and some of the other deals.
He's going to set the market.
Right.
Isn't he the next one to set it?
Well, then maybe, right. Or maybe the agent says, maybe the agent just said to Brandon Bean, look, we want to be the highest paid corner. And end of story. And then maybe the talk stopped right there. But you're always looking at what the market's going to do. Look, Prescott's not getting Mahomes' deal. But, you know, when Mahomes gets to 45 on the average, you know, I think what would have been, It was Russell Wilson, maybe the highest average at 35, whatever. Yeah. So now you got a new guy at the top. Well, you know, if he's not in Mahomes' category, but everybody's salary goes up, right? If Deshaun Watson was going to make 17 under with a fifth-year option, and now Mahomes gets 45, you know, the agent and him are going, okay, well, now our average annual value from Houston has gone from 20 to 25 or 30 to 35 or 35 to 37, whatever. All the numbers will slide. No one's getting his number. But all the quarterback's numbers are going to go up because of the contract, the market, right? Everybody else's price is going up a little bit. And if Prescott was at 35, I don't know that he's getting 40, but he's probably pushing hard 40. For 37, 38, you know? Yeah. I don't know. That'll be interesting to see.
Mahomes has a roster bonus in 5 years that is $49
million. That's amazing. That is amazing.
Lane tweets in. I like this point a lot, Lane. He says, it just became an enormous contract year for Allen. The range on years and total dollars based on how well he does is ridiculously huge. Yeah. Fair to say, he's playing for hundreds of millions of dollars this year.
Oh, yeah. He knew that. You know, I'm sure he knows
I mean,
any decent quarterback is getting $20 million a year.
Right, of course. But he's talking about hundreds of
millions. Right. So I'm saying, okay, you get a five-year contract, that's 100 right there. And that's low. I'm probably really low at $20 million, by the way.
Depending on how good he is. But that, I think that's Lane's point is, you know, I mean, Tyrod Taylor got a $92 million contract from the Bills. Of course, he didn't see all of it. But, you know, Josh Allen signing a contract that's $125 million over 4 years, but, you know, the outs are there is one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Mahomes is a ton of money because he has established himself as the best.
Right.
And not many people would dispute it. For Allen, if he has a great year, let's say he has a great year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that means league MVP or Super Bowl champion. It probably has to mean one of those two in order to even consider.
Lamar's year last year, you're talking like that, although he won the MVP.
I don't think there's a scenario that Allen has a year that gets him a Mahomes contract.
Oh, gosh, no. Mm-mm. He hasn't done it.
No, right. Last year he had a nice year.
Yep.
And if he has one great year, as Lane points out, he's probably making hundreds of millions. But, you're not talking like a half a billion dollar contract no matter what he does.
Well, that's the other part of the Mahomes. I'm sorry, who texted? Lane?
Lane.
That was the other part I think that's interesting from Lane's point. It isn't just $45 million a year, although that's going to catch your eye. It's 10 years. Like, that's a long term, right? I mean, it's rare. I saw yesterday, was it maybe 4 or 5 10-year deals in the history of the NFL? Teams don't normally hand out 10-year extensions. So it's term, too. Like, when I think about Josh Allen's next contract, assuming he earns it, I would think, 5-year deal, 6-year deal, max. Like, 10 years just doesn't happen. So, if we're talking 10 years, if the Bills actually did think, if Josh Allen has like that great year and is in the MVP balloting and they win the division and they're whatever, they have a playoff run and you want to start talking about 10 years? Yeah, you're talking like what, $300 to $400 million?
Probably.
$30 million a year conservative? That's $300 million. Dollars. I don't think we're going to be talking about, that's this thing too. Not only does Mahomes get the 45 and he's worth it, he gets the 10. I don't know how many teams are handing out 10-year contracts to quarterbacks going forward. This kid is just that special.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Dallas, although Dallas, I guess one of the hangups in Dallas is that Prescott's camp is looking for a shorter term, and Dallas wants to go with a longer term. Now, I haven't seen 10 years mentioned, but like 6 years or 7 years mentioned.
What if Lamar does what Mahomes did? Right?
Another great year.
He won the MVP this year. The difference is that when Mahomes won the MVP, he lost in the AFC Championship game, and Lamar Jackson's had a pair of playoff exits to this point.
Yep.
If Lamar wins the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl MVP, is that 10 years, half a billion?
Man, that is
awesome. Is he Mahomes?
I don't think he gets Mahomes. Obviously, I'd reserve the right to see what his numbers are this year, but I don't think he gets that.
They just pick up the fifth-year option.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They would have that as, something to kind of wield.
Which is cheap compared to the numbers we're talking about with Mahomes and maybe. Yeah, I don't think he would. I'm not sure how you get to that point. I don't know what you'd have to do. You know, even a big year from Watson, he doesn't get to that point. I don't think Lamar would either. I don't know how you get to 10 years, $45 million per right now in the next year or two. I mean, what Mahomes has done in these first two full years, no one's ever done. He's put up numbers, you know, individually, team-wise, points per game, touchdowns, quarterback ratings, name it, anything, comeback. He's putting up numbers you just don't see someone of his age at that position put up with team success. So I'm honestly, I have a hard time envisioning someone getting a 10-year, $45 million a year contract. Like, if Prescott gets 40 a year, I'll be impressed. You know, his numbers are good. Don't get me wrong. His numbers are good. I just looked at his stats today. 17,000 yards in 4 years, total yards. That's rush and pass. 118 touchdowns, 64 games, 2 playoff berths. Good, very good numbers. If he gets 40, I would be impressed. I wouldn't think he'd hit that level. I think Mahomes is just that far away from everybody else.
There's an article at ESPN that lays out how it's unlikely he plays to the end of this deal, Mahomes.
Yeah.
He very well might make $500 million, but it's $141 million of Mahomes' deal is guaranteed, and that's for injury only.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a big deal. It's got a big price tag. Real quickly here. It's like deals handed to other first-round quarterbacks since the league has adopted its scale. The group consists of Tannehill, Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, Blake Bortles, Jared Goff, and Carson Wentz. Goff and Wentz are the most comparable. They each sent an extension after their third season, just like Mahomes did. They were signed more recently than the other three passers, like Wentz. So he's due all the cash over the next 5 seasons. Just kind of going through this real quickly to see. Yeah, the guarantee mechanism. That's the thing that we're going to have to learn about because is that the newest thing in quarterback contracts or anybody's contract, right?
Right.
Like, Kirk Cousins was supposed to be a big deal because he got fully guaranteed.
So much money in that short term, right?
3 years and fully guaranteed contract.
$94 million, I think it was, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The ins and outs of all the structure will be interesting because, yes, other teams, the Ravens are paying attention, the Jets are paying attention, the Bills are paying attention, the Texans are paying attention, and the Cowboys have a week and they're paying. So those five teams are all thinking about what's our – the owner of the Ravens might actually be sweating bullets this season. I mean, I'm sure he wants to win. He wants to win a Super Bowl. What I'm trying to think, what did Flacco get? Remember when Flacco, after the Super Bowl, got a big, like, five-year, $100-something million deal?
But why are we talking about sweating bullets? You're paying money under a cap.
Oh, yeah, they're going to win.
It's the same amount of money you're going to pay anyway.
Right.
I mean
–
not totally. I guess you don't have to.
But
go
I still think, even though the league prints money, an owner of a team is sitting there looking at it, going, "Wow, okay, so he's getting a $49 million roster bonus on the first day of the league year in 20 whatever. I mean, that's a lot of money. You know, the money he's going to make, the $83 million over the first 3 years of roster bonuses or whatever it is.
Imagine making enough to pay it.
Yeah, no, I know. I know they're not poor. I get it. I know. I don't think they're going to have to. Double the ticket prices in Baltimore to pay for Lamar Jackson's next contract, assuming he gets to that point. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, On List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Some headlines this morning. The big headline in the world of sports is Patrick Mahomes' contract. He and Kansas City have agreed to a 10-year extension. Mahomes had 2 years left on his contract, so 10-year extension means he's under contract through 2031. 10-year extension for at least $450 million could go up to as much as $503 million. The National Football League will hold a conference call today with the Players Association. And they're going to be talking about how training camps are going to be run. At this point, teams have been told everything will go on as scheduled. July 21st, rookies would be allowed to report around the league. The Raiders reportedly made an offer to free agent defensive end Jadeveon Clowney. The NHL and the NHLPA celebrating an extension of their CBA, a 4-year extension. In addition, they announced return to play protocols, phase 3 and phase 4. Training camps are scheduled to open July 13th. Games would start August 1st. The league also did say 35 players have tested positive since June 8th for the coronavirus. Major League Baseball released its schedule, and they'll have opening night on July 23rd. Yanks Nationals will open up the season for MLB. Aaron Judge says he's ready to play. He suffered a rib injury back in the spring. FC Dallas has pulled out of the MLS back-to-play tournament, or MLS's back tournament. It's in Orlando in their bubble, but 10 players on that squad tested positive, so they will not be participating in that. On the other hand, you look at the Premier League, which announced yesterday they've had no positive tests in their most recent round of testing for their league. The PGA has changed its plan for the Memorial in Dublin, Ohio. They were going to have some fans on hand next week. They've now said they will not be doing that because of the virus and all the precautions they need to take. Those are your headlines. Next update coming up at 8. So here's the plan, Jeremy. If everything goes according to plan, the MLS.
The NHL?
With everything. Here's what the rest of the month looks like. The MLS is back tournament, I think, is scheduled to start tomorrow at some point this week, but I think it's tomorrow. MLB, in theory, you'd have games on July 23rd, which would be 16 days away. NFL camps open in full by July 28th. 2 days after that, NBA games begin. 2 days after that, NHL games begin. All of that in the next three-ish weeks, if it goes on schedule.
The basketball tournament was on last night.
TBT.
TBT, the basketball tournament.
I'm not familiar with it. I just haven't been following it. What is it?
It's a tournament, 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Winner take all, $1 million. That's the one that has the Elam ending that we saw in the All-Star game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Depending on the points, the clock time remaining or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of Boeheim's Army is in that, Jim Boeheim's Army. So they're already in the round of 16, and they played a couple of games. Two teams have moved on from Columbus, Ohio, from the runs through the 14th. So that's on a little bit.
Oh, that's where Boeheim's Army. I saw something about a tweet about what the heck is Boeheim's Army? I had no idea what that was.
Did you see the picture of the courts, of the basketball courts from Orlando?
Yes and no. I did, but I got to be honest with you. I didn't like click on the photo and enlarge it or really take a close look at it. I've seen the courts. Don't they have like different team names on the hardwood, on the baselines?
They do.
The Pacers was on one of the pictures I saw.
It is amazing to look at.
Well, you tweeted out. Yeah. Why did you tweet what you tweeted?
Because it looks like they put basketball courts in the downstairs floor of the Buffalo Convention Center.
Okay. Let me go. Let me find another picture.
Find my tweet. Bleacher Report's the one that put it out. You've got the Magic with a pair of courts next to each other, and maybe that's one court, all four courts. I can't really tell. It is okay. The Pacers are in there too. I've got the Heat, the Pacers, and two courts for the Orlando Magic in what looks like a convention center. It's the kind of thing where you thought like, oh, okay, they'll go into a bubble and they'll play down there in Disney World, and I wonder what that'll look like. I'm sure they've got some sort of arenas. No, it's actually in a room that you'd have the world's largest disco.
So,
or maybe yeah, that's the other room. But it's in a room where I pick up oranges and yogurt after the turkey trot. Like, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. They're not playing games simultaneously, right? Because there's, you said there are multiple courts next to each other lined up?
Yes. But those might just be for practice. I don't know that they'll be playing games like that.
Yeah. Okay, I was wondering about that. I wouldn't think they would. I mean, why would you? That'd be like an AAU tournament, basically. On court one, it's this team against that team. On court two, on court three, I wouldn't think they would do that. They're going to, you know, you wouldn't want those games going on at the same time. That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah.
I don't know how you would actually do that from a telecast standpoint. Well, I guess there's no crowd noise. So you would have cameras on each particular court and an announce crew in a studio. Yeah, I guess you could pull that off, but it would be kind of weird looking.
I don't think you're going multiple games at the same
time. No. I'm sure they aren't going to do that. So, in theory, we would be from the four major professional leagues. We are 16 days away from the first game. How optimistic are you we'll actually get to that point and see a game when we get to that point?
I'm excited about the F1 race this weekend.
We know know they're racing. They're fine. Right. We know the PGA is going to continue. Even without fans, they're fine.
Yeah.
It sounds like, well, you've been watching Premier League. They're fine.
Yep.
MLS is going on with one fewer team. But how, you know, like when the schedule comes out, typically, right, the Mets schedule came out last night. And I'd be like, oh, let me go. Okay, what, does it really matter?
So the schedule came out, but they didn't include times, right, or dates?
Just like who they would play? They have dates and opponents. I got to look and see. I know they had the times for opening day. Like the Mets game against the Braves is a 4:10 game on a Friday afternoon.
I'll say this, like in terms of whatever optimism, what I think about it doesn't actually matter in terms of whether or not it happens. John Shannon tweeted out that, you know, the firm timetable is there for hockey and the start of the qualifying round is August 1st. The players travel to the hub cities on July 26th.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should move that up.
Yeah, get them there as soon as possible.
Yes.
Well, you want to be in the bubble as soon as possible to try.
Not even the bubble. You just want to be in Canada. Probably.
Oh, okay. I see.
All these teams are all around the country, and they're all in states where things are not going very well. So just, like, maybe go to Canada tomorrow.
Yeah.
maybe go as soon as possible in terms of, you know, you've got these teams spread around the country in all these different spots. You've got, 30 and 24 teams. Okay. So 17, or how many American teams are there? 18, 19? Different what am I trying to say here? You know what I mean? Like, just... I don't know. Move sooner.
Yeah.
Get up there sooner. The 26th is late. Anyway, I think the NHL has the best chance because it's in Canada, personally.
Yeah.
Like, and that's just because of how they've handled it up there and how, you know, it's gone a little better. So when they chose the hub cities, we had fun kind of like making fun of that. But as soon as they chose those hub cities, I thought they had a better chance. If they had chosen Phoenix and Tampa as their hub cities, I would not have been as optimistic as, you know, Toronto and Edmonton.
Yeah, I haven't gotten – by the way, MLB has times out too. So kudos to the Blue Jays, who I believe – I'm guessing they normally don't start games at 6:37, but I'm going to guess they moved up their start times for home games. Good for them. I mean, it's not like you got fans who are trying to get out of work and come to the stadium for the game. So start the games a little bit earlier, and maybe people can sit and watch an entire game on television and still get up for work the next morning. The Mets schedule came out, and with hockey and all these dates, they're 3 weeks away, and it feels like they're 6 months away. You know, I don't have any excitement level on games being played because it just seems like it's such... Between now and then, and by the way, good things can happen. The numbers can start dropping in the States. It doesn't necessarily mean that only, you know, the numbers will only get worse over the next couple of weeks. But between now and then, it just feels so far away. And the idea of a baseball game, the Mets playing on the 24th, I haven't really gotten excited about games returning because I'm not convinced they're actually going to be playing these games. I hear too many people talking about from inside the sports. Now, you know, more baseball players, you know, guys, probably more guys are going to opt out. The testing situation's been a mess this week. And they're not even, you know, doing a bubble concept with their teams as opposed to the NHL and the NBA. There's just so much that can happen. And I'm skeptical, very skeptical that they're actually going to be able to play games through this. I think the bubble is much better than what MLB is doing, but I'm still skeptical that they're going to pull this thing off. Orlando looks like, I mean, I don't know how the NBA is going to come through Orlando with all the stuff going on in Florida and even in a bubble. I just haven't gotten excited yet about games.
Did you follow up anything with Formula One? Are you excited about this weekend's race?
I'm following more people. I'm following F1 people on Twitter, which, of course, I would have never done before. So I've been looking for more reporters to follow and some more people to get on the show. I'm working on trying to get a guest on the show Friday from, I think, Motor Week Illustrated. And, yes, I was checking their Twitter accounts to see any news this week. We're in silly season, you know, with drivers switching teams and all that stuff. So I actually went on Twitter yesterday to see what people are talking about after the race in Austria the other day. I found a story this morning. Lando Norris is the heir to Lewis Hamilton's throne when the world champion finally decides to retire and hang up his helmet. So It's about Norris maybe moving into a Mercedes seat at some point. So, yeah, I do find myself looking for F1 stories over the course of the week just to see what's going on between races, which, again, I would have guessed that I never would have done in my lifetime.
Is Hamilton close to retiring?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think it came up in Drive to Survive at all, right?
No.
And he's trying to make history, I believe, right? I'm trying to double check and see what this article says. His private life, his high-profile relationships have drawn criticism. Okay.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Not me, but like
not, you know, oh, not, yeah, I didn't think you
no,
meant
not
you.
Me, but that sounds familiar.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just reading the article about Norris and everything. Anyway, no, I hadn't heard anything like he was close to retiring. But if he did, yeah, I would think people would be jumping for that ride.
When we get back, I've got some fun bets and pledges. We need your brainstorming, Brayton's, the texters, the tweeters. We'll get some ideas down to keep raising money. So I'll explain that when we get back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Missed Chopin the Bulldog Show? No problem. Now you can rewind up to 24 hours with Radio.com Rewind. Download the app, select WGR, and go back in time. Driven by Northtown Automotive. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
One of the greatest songs ever made. Charlie Daniels passed away yesterday at the age of 83, if you did not know that. Devil Went Down to Georgia, fantastic song. Uneasy Rider, also one of my all-time favorites from Charlie Daniels. So a moment to recognize the contributions of this wonderful artiste. Charlie Daniels was 83 years old.
Yeah.
So you're gonna raise some more money? What do you need?
Here's the idea. So we're over $5,000. I want to thank everybody for their donations and what they've done for the 100 Holes of Golf. 100 Holes of Golf is 9 days away. And I've had some people ask about pledges, like, well, maybe I'll give you X amount of dollars per par or per birdie. And I'm thinking, that's a good idea. But there should be other ones. So I just ordered 48 golf balls online.
Ooh, okay.
Because I don't know how many I'm going
to lose,
right?
Yeah, that's good.
So 48 golf balls. I don't think I'll lose 48 golf balls. But the question becomes, all right, well, what else could you pledge? Per par, per birdie, per mile walked. Per lost ball.
Splashdowns.
Per water hazards? There's not that many on this course.
Playing at Wanaka. Bunkers and water hazards?
There's bunkers. Sure, per bunker, I guess.
Missed fairways?
There'll be a lot of those.
Just trying to get you a lot of money.
There'll be a lot of those.
$10 per missed fairway.
Those are pretty standard, you know, most rounds for me. Right. So, yeah, like trying to think of other things that could go as pledgeable things. Like what else is going to happen out there? And especially we could do another stretch where during your 18, because you're going to be caddying for me for a set of 18 holes, you know, per times Howard.
Complains.
Right. I could be, you know, counting something that you do instead of just you counting things that I'm going
to
be doing.
Oh, you could make a lot of money if it's based on how many times I complain to you. Like, wow, I can't believe I'm out here in this heat.
I know. You're going to be in a cart, probably with some, I'll make sure you have some sort of cake vodka.
Thank you very much. That'd be nice.
And you're going to be just complaining the whole time.
Hey, I was going to say, like, how many times you curse on the course, but do you curse on the course, or are you mindful of your language when you play?
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
like how many F-bombs you drop? I can track
for
that.
For bad shots, I'm not the kind of person that does that too often. I don't get too worked up about it.
Okay.
You know, it'll happen from time to time, but it's not a regular. I'm not an angry golfer, I wouldn't say.
How many bottles of water you down over 100 holes?
That could be another one. You know, wardrobe changes. You know,
how many shirts?
How about $20 for every shirt you have to wear because you sweat out a shirt or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or, you know, the guys that have played in this 100 holes before say that you have to do, you have to change shoes, you have to change socks.
Shoes,
so,
really?
Yeah.
Okay. I could see socks, I guess. You know, I mean, wow, that's a lot of work.
Right. So just some ideas out there. On the day of the tournament, we've reached out to a couple of the local news to make sure that they come out too and cover it. I'm sure I'll be tweeting out the link again and again. But on the day of the tournament, I'll tweet out, you know, just a tweet to respond to if you want to do a pledge per something. And then I will update all the figures, pars, birdies, you know.
Would you go through multiple visors or caps, whatever headgear you're wearing?
That's a good question about multiple hats. I don't
think
so.
Like, if you have a cap, I don't know. Are you a visor guy or a cap?
Oh, definitely a cap.
Okay, you could sweat, obviously. Well, you will sweat. So, you know, the cap can get kind of sweaty and nasty after a while. You might want a fresh cap.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of those you'd go through, though. I'm going to guess you go through a shirt per round.
Maybe. It's going to be hot.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to be very hot out there.
So I'm going to guess you're going to go through 1,800 holes. You're going to go through like 5 shirts.
Okay.
So I would say
$5 per shirt worn.
Okay. I was going to say like, you know, maybe like $20 per shirt, but, you know, that'd be a nice $100 donation. But yeah, I think you're going to go through 5 shirts.
And check the text, see if anybody else has got some good ideas on, you know, what you could pledge
what to. What you score on a hole, shots. Okay, we did.
Total bunkers. Shots, right. You could do a dollar for total shots.
You would be shooting. What do you think how many shots do you think you're going to have in total? Do you remember what you did last time? What did you shoot last time?
I don't remember, okay. But, I mean, it'll be in the neighborhood of, do the quick math. What am I going to shoot of? I'll average a 95.
Shots. Okay, so that's.
And because, of course, fatigue. 70. Otherwise, I'd be shooting 70s. No, I'm kidding. Call it 500 shots.
Yeah, so you're averaging 5 per hole. Okay.
Yeah. 500 plus. Over under 500 shots is a good bet. It'll be over.
Okay. So maybe someone could pledge on the amount of shots over 500.
No, it's going to be over 500 because 500 is 90 on every round.
So you could.
I'm right on the edge of 90 up and down.
You could go for a pledge per shot, you know,
per
a
shot.
Quarter, a dime, whatever, 50. Or you can go with a pledge of however many above 600 shots. You pick the number and have an over and then pledge, you know, a dollar for every shot over 600.
Right.
Or whatever the number amount is. So that's good. This is like Super Bowl prop bets.
I know.
This is fun. You got to post these.
I will. The day of the tournament, we'll put them up there and people can make their bets. Do you see Sal's link? The betting odds for the Washington football team name change?
Yeah, I have those. I was going to put it in, bring it up here if I get bet it or forget it together. If not, I'll just bring it up on its
own.
Okay,
I look forward to that because I want to hear your evaluation of each and every one of these team names.
There's Washington football, and there's also a set for Cleveland's baseball name.
Oh, because they think that's going to happen?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Okay. It doesn't seem to be what seems to be a sure thing with Washington, since we're talking loss of money with naming rights.
Right.
But I've got a set for Cleveland, too, so I will have both those for you. We'll do that coming up after Heather. Heather Dinich from ESPN will join us next for the latest on the landscape of college football. Mandatory workouts can begin this week for teams that are opening up before September, and then next week for those that open up Labor Day weekend. So we'll find out what's going on with college football in a moment. WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.